Hello there and welcome into another edition of The Intersection with conversation highlights from the Meeting House on Faith Radio about a variety of topics, including news, information, and lifestyles approached from a Christian worldview perspective. The implications of the resurrection of Jesus Christ are enormous, and Jeremiah Johnston of Prestonwood Baptist Church in Dallas and the Christian Thinkers Society presents compelling material about the significance of Jesus rising from the dead. You will be hearing from a recent Meeting House conversation coming up. Plus, a new film relates the story of the Smallbone family who moved from Australia to America and experienced God's faithfulness even through challenging times. Luke Smallbone, who comprises For King and Country with his brother Joel, shares about the concept. And on this edition of The Intersection, Cindy Brinker Simmons' mother was a tennis star. Her name was Maureen Little Mo Connolly Brinker. Cindy was almost a teenager when her mother passed away due to cancer. Over three decades later, she lost her husband to cancer. She has been an advocate for families who have been affected by the disease, and she has experienced God's sustaining hand through her own personal pain and grief. You will learn more coming up. Finally, from the National Religious Broadcasters 2024 Convention in Nashville, Robert Marbot, who formerly led a federal agency dealing with homelessness, offers a Christ-centered analysis of how homelessness affects people and communities and how the church can respond with compassion. This is The Intersection, a production of The Meeting House. I'm Bob Crittenden. Jeremiah Johnston is pastor of apologetics and cultural engagement at Prestonwood Baptist Church, dean of spiritual development at Prestonwood Christian Academy, and the president of the Christian Thinkers Society. He has released Body of Proof, a study on the resurrection of Jesus, a four-session Bible study companion to a book that was released last year. From a recent Meeting House conversation, here now is Jeremiah Johnston.
I want to make sure your audience understands what's at stake, what stands and what falls with this message of Jesus' resurrection. All of Christianity does. C.S. Lewis made it very clear in his book, Miracles, that to preach Christianity, make no mistake, is to preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he got that straight out of Paul's writings, because in a devastating passage, in my opinion, Bob, and Paul writes what's at stake in 1 Corinthians 15:17. He says, look, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, our sins are not forgiven. And he wrote two verses later in verse 19, people should look down on us and actually feel sorry for us because we're just kind of going through the motions. And then thankfully in the very next verse, he said, but we do know Jesus has risen from the dead. And keep in mind who's writing this. This is St. Paul. We call him Paul the Apostle. He was Saul of Tarsus. He hated Christians. He was hostile to the gospel. He hated everything there was about the Christian movement, tried to stop it, went to the extent of, you know, being totally okay to hold the coats while everybody killed Stephen. This is the person who's writing this. Let's keep that in mind. Jesus appeared to those who loved him. Jesus appeared to those who were indifferent to him. And Jesus also in his resurrection appeared to those like Paul, like his brother James, who were hostile towards him during his life and during his ministry. And Paul, make no mistake, he has a resurrection experience on the road to Damascus. Yes. So much so that, you know, Paul gives us 30, not to geek out, Bob, but he gives us 32,000 words of the New Testament. So he writes a lot. Only Luke writes more. But he says this matter of the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15:1, he uses the Greek word protois. It's the word we get prototype from. He says, this is a matter of first importance. You got to get this right, Christian. If you know, you can be squishy on some of the other stuff, but Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture. He rose, he was buried according to the scripture, and he rose from the grave according to the scripture. And so the question I'm asked all the time is, well, what proof do we have? And, you know, why do I need to know about it if I'm already a Christian? Because the resurrection energizes and it literally emboldens every aspect of our faith. It's not some academic exercise. And Bob, you know, having been there in Jerusalem, you know, I had never been to Lazarus's tomb until we filmed there, because many Christians don't go there anymore. It's what moderns call West Bank territory now. And so even part of our Jewish team that was part of our crew, they couldn't even go with us into the West Bank, unfortunately. But I went there and I filmed, and And it was moving because, you know, I was able to preach in these very locations. And I want to make sure your audience understands other religions don't have history and archaeology on their side like Christianity does.
Hmm. They certainly don't have a leader who actually was dead and has been raised again. And that, of course, is, right, as it's been said, that is such a distinctive of Christianity. Now, in this Bible study, it's a four-session study, and each study, as I understand it, has, well, a corresponding reason with respect to why you can trust in the resurrection, the proof, if you will. So walk us right through what you really wanted to bring out with respect to the certainty of the resurrection.
What was amazing is people who have been Christians for years have gone through this Bible study and said, Jeremiah, I've learned things I never knew before. It's given me hope in places I didn't know I could have hope. I didn't realize the resurrection was such a deep doctrine, such a weighty topic. I thought it was just part of that gospel that I heard and that saved me, but I didn't realize it was the key that unlocks all of the doctrines of the Bible. If the resurrection's not true, don't bother praying, friends. If the resurrection's not true, don't have any security in your belief. It is the key that unlocks it all. And what was fun about filming there, Bob, and people really got this, you know, I mean, I'm sweating. It's hot. You know, it wasn't overproduced. I was in so many tombs. There's no air conditioning in these tombs, by the way. I'm out of breath. You know, there's an urgency to the filming to get in and out of these spots. I didn't necessarily feel safe in all the places where we filmed. And all of those emotions and those feelings shine through towards helping the believer understand you can walk these steps too.
Jeremiah Johnston here on The Intersection. You can find out more through lifeway.com/body of proof or christianthinkers.com. The church's website is prestonwood.org. This is the Intersection podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk recently with Luke Smallbone. He is part of For King and Country along with his brother Joel. He discussed the concept of a film relating the story of the Smallbone family who moved from Australia to America and experienced God's faithfulness even through challenging times. The film is called Unsung Hero, and he served as a producer. Here now is Luke Smallbone.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of people go, man, so he must have been like just so scared all the time, you know, and though our circumstances were tricky, I think that we felt very comfortable in the love of our parents. You know, mom and dad did a great job on being very honest with us, though. This actually the film portrays is being very honest with us about all the things that were going on, but at the same time, being but caring for us and I don't want to say protecting us, but protecting us from seemingly the feelings of the uncertainty, even though that we knew that they were there. So I think there's a lot of parents out there that how can you have both? How can you have honesty of uncertain things, but then also feeling safe. And I think it's possible because that's what I walk through. I think it's shaped this. I mean, struggle produces something in people. I mean, it's a scriptural struggle produces character, perseverance, and ultimately leads to hope. And look, I had the gift of struggle when we first came to America. And in some cases, as I've gotten older, I had also the gift of struggle. It's not something that you ever choose to go through again. But while when you get through the other side, you see a lot of the goodness that comes from walking through difficult things.
So how did you see your mom and dad really being able to rely on the Lord during these times of difficulty?
Yeah, I mean, look, we were very simpletons in some cases. We would gather around in our furnitureless living room and just start praying for these essential things in life. And you know, we had absolute miracles take place. We didn't have any furniture in our house, and we were praying for furniture and just praying for, you know, kind of to build a home here in America. And a church that we didn't go to, actually heard about it, and Sunday school class got together a bunch of their friends, and they collected up all this furniture. And I kid you not, I think 3 or 4 days after they kind of heard about what was going on in our family, they came back with 2 box trucks and furnished our whole house. Wow. That was one pretty amazing thing. Our first Thanksgiving that we were here, for. We had met a family, went over to their house for Thanksgiving, and that night they gave us their brand new car for us to just have. I mean, it's just crazy, crazy stories. We still don't know who paid for our little sister to be born in a hospital. We had people that would dump groceries on our doorstep. Just unbelievable things take place early on. So, you know, we got to see, you know, if you want your kids to follow Jesus, and for us as parents, you need to show evidence to your kids that Jesus is real. And I think for us, we got the gift of seeing that Jesus is real, got to see answered prayers. That changes you, that impacts you.
You are listening to Meeting House here on Faith Radio. Luke Smallbone of For King and Country talking about the new film that really portrays what Luke's family has gone through. The name of the film is Unsung Hero. And tell me, if you would, how you came up with that title and the significance of that.
Yeah, well, we're working on a record, Joel and I, quite a number of years ago. It was kind of the 2020, 2021 timeframe. And we had written a song called Unsung Hero. And it was about our parents, mostly about our mom and just her influence in our life. And I actually, that was what sparked the idea for me to call my producer friend in LA, was that I was like, hey, man, you know, we got this song. It's really resonated with people. And then, man, I just think that there's something about telling this story and telling the story from our mother's vantage point. And so that's kind of how it all, you know, came together in some way as far as the title is concerned.
To what extent did your mom and dad have, as we might say, creative input into the overall film?
Yeah, they had virtually none, to be honest.
Really?
Was, you know, because the kids were running with the show, you got to be careful when you're telling your own story that you're not too involved, because I think you shape things in a way that you hope people will take them versus what they actually really were. And so they read the script once before we shot, and they knew about it, you know, and we were waiting for the right moment to share with them, because obviously it's their story. They need to know it. And they had a few little feedback pieces here and there. There's not a ton, but there wasn't a ton of back and forth, because I don't think that was probably super, would have been super appropriate if it was.
Luke Smallbone of For King and Country here on this edition of The Intersection. You can find out more through unsunghero.movie. This is the Intersection Podcast, a weekly production of The Meeting House, and you can learn more through meetinghouseonline.info or by going to the programming menu at faithradio.org. Through that programming menu, as well as the Meeting House homepage, you will find a link to the Media Center. That's the place you can go to listen to or download full conversations with recent guests featured on the Intersection Podcast, as well as the Meeting House radio program. There are links to the podcast, to the Media Center, as well as its Apple Podcast feed. Plus, you can watch video of Meeting House guests on the Faith Radio YouTube video channel, including recently added content from the 2024 National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville. Two blogs are accessible. One is The Three, with three stories of relevance to the Christian community. There's also The Front Room, with devotional thoughts and commentary from The Meeting House. And you can follow me on X or Twitter and access the Meeting House Facebook page. Again, that website address is meetinghouseonline.info, or you can go to the programming menu at faithradio.org. Conversations can also be found through the Faith Radio app and a variety of podcast platforms, including Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, Spotify, YouTube Music, and others. Continuing now with this edition of the Intersection Podcast, Cindy Brinker Simmons is someone who has negatively been impacted by cancer. Her mother, Maureen Little Mo Connolly Brinker, passed away due to cancer when Cindy was almost a teenager. Over three decades later, Cindy lost her husband to cancer. She has been an advocate for families who have been affected by the disease and has experienced God's sustaining hand through her own personal pain and grief. She has written a book entitled Restored: Reconnecting Life's Broken Pieces. From a recent Meeting House conversation, here now is Cindy Brinker Simmons.
This book, if you had to just boil it down, it's all about trusting God. It's all about trusting God. And my son gave me a wonderful definition of joy that I shared in the book. And I just, and what it's a beautiful definition. And he said, it was from a pastor, that joy is the cheerful confidence in God's power to deliver. And God does deliver. Now, many people don't feel that way. So what I'm trying to do in the book is share with them and encourage them that God does deliver. And again, he's working behind the scenes, that even if we can't see it, God is working again for our redemption and our rescue. And that's why he's so worthy of our trust, Bob. And hope is what is fueled by that trust. And then hope is that great confidence. It's not just a wish, or it's just not a desire, but true hope is that cheerful confidence. It's that assured, that blessed assuredness in God's ability to deliver, that God is who he says he is. And that is what I have found through Restored in my own research, and just to remind me of that, because we all need to be reminded, because life is hard. Oh my goodness, Bob, life is so hard. And sometimes it's just so heavy that the very weight of it, the very weight of it is just crushing. So I also believe how important it is to have a community of people around you. You know, God put us in relationships. The relationships are a God-given gift. And what's so important when we're going through hard times, and we are, because suffering is a universal experience. And none of us are immune from the bumps and bruises of daily living. It is called suffering, and it can be painful. So when we are going through suffering, it is not good for us to be alone or isolated. We need to belong. We need what's called the beauty of community. So I talk about, it's so important to be undergirded with trusted people who will undergird you in prayer, who will lift you up and even carry you during hard times. Isn't that a beautiful picture of God? That he, during our hard times, he carries us over the finish line. Oh, I've seen that over and over again in my life. And also, another thing that just reminded me as I was writing this book, Bob, it's so important. Don't forget to remember all that God has done for you in the past. You know, just the fact that many of us are standing today is evidence of a God that loves us with abandon, and his outrageous grace just lifts us up. I mean, yes, we could have been hurt through the process, but the fact that we are alive, breathing, and standing is absolutely a testimony to his love for us. And all we have to do is just look in our brief history and look at how God has rescued us and redeemed us and literally picked us up from an abyss at times. And that gives us an attitude of gratitude to the God of the universe, the King of Kings. And so I think that's really important as we are struggling. A key concept that I like to share, because it's so true of my life, many times you cannot control your circumstances. But what you can do is you can control your responses to your circumstances. You can choose joy. And joy is very intentional. It's an intentional decision, because pain is mandatory in life. We're all going to have pain. But how we suffer is based on how we respond to our circumstances. Do we live in victory because we know that God is in control, he has authority over all, and he loves us with an unwavering love? Or do we get to be the victim rather than the victor, and we live in bitterness and anger and just pity? And what that does, that's like a cancer. And cancer seeks to destroy. And like the cancer that took my mom's life, cancer, its whole purpose is to destroy. So we must respond to our circumstances, even if they're difficult at the time. Again, God's at work, because God is glorious even when our circumstances are not. He is glorious. Right. And so we need to respond with joy.
Cindy Brinker Simmons here on The Intersection. You can find her online at brinkersimmons.com. Well, next up on this edition of The Intersection from the 2024 National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Robert Marbot, who formerly led a federal agency dealing with homelessness, offered a Christ-centered analysis of how homelessness affects people and communities and how the church can respond with compassion. He is lead author and general editor of the No Address Interactive Study Guide, executive producer of the film No Address. Here now from that NRB conversation is Robert Marbot.
We have 1.5 million children on the street, and we have 1.2 million adults, single adults on the street, experiencing some type of homelessness. And out of the adults, 650,000 are the, if you will call it street level, the folks you see on the street that are in and out of the mission or an emergency facility. Mm-hmm. And that group, and I'm not talking about all the homeless, but I'm just talking about that 650. The one that most of the media are talking about, President Trump talked about last night and others, is the issue of untreated mental illness and substance abuse. And that's what's three-fourths of what you see out the window on the street when you're driving. And it's normally self-medicating because of the untreated mental illness.
Hmm. And then you have those that so many people in America are living paycheck to paycheck. There are economic issues that are really wearing people out, if you can say it like that. And, you know, if you're living paycheck to paycheck and something happens with that paycheck, you're in trouble.
And the particular, and I don't mean to sort of oversimplify, but the best example of that is the single mother, clean and sober, has a job, has two or three kids, and the knuckleheaded boyfriend or father is started to become abusive. She splits from him, so she loses half the income, and now she's trying to take care of two or three kids, plus herself, plus housing, get to work, get the kids there, and that's all about economics. But it started as domestic violence, and then it ends in an economic challenge.
Robert Marbot is joining us today here on the Meeting House on Faith Radio. The author of the interactive study guide. It's called No Address. That's the name of the movie and the documentary. Well, the documentary is actually Americans with No Address, but No Address is the feature film due out later this year. But the interactive study guide is No Address, an interactive study guide. Robert Marbot joining us today here on the Meeting House on Faith Radio. So why is it that when we look at this overall issue and how we as the church, we as Christians can respond, obviously movie and documentary are important, but you're leading, if you will, with the interactive study guide. So why is that?
And we're leading with the study guide. In essence, it's a Bible study that you could do over a month. You could do it individually. We could do it in a small group. You could do it as a whole congregation. And what we're basically trying to go through is some of the myths of homeless, some of the facts of homeless, but most importantly, what can you actually do? Because there, and we have this great line with Max Licato in the video. He says, no one person can solve this problem, but every person can do something. And that's what we're trying to do is, what is it? Time, talent, and treasures. But also it's like, don't go set up another nonprofit. Go help the rescue mission. Go help the Salvation Army. Go help one of the good independent groups. Don't go off and compete, collaborate. So we go through a lot of that. And it's really important. The community of faith led the way. After the Civil War, we had the orphans and widowers. And the widows that were coming out of the war had the government didn't have support. We didn't have Social Security, Medicaid, all those sorts of things. And it was the faith community, the church community, that stepped up. And that's where Salvation Army gets formed in the United States. Mm-hmm. That's where the Bowery Mission, which is the first rescue mission in the country, they come along within just a handful of years after the Civil War. And they do it really for 120 years till the federal government in 1987, over 120 years later, says, no, we want to try to get involved. And by the way, when they get involved, the numbers start going up. Now, and that's not the total story, because you also have the advent of fentanyl, which is really, you know, with fentanyl combined with some bad government policy is what really has taken off homelessness.
From NRB 2024, that was Robert Marbot here on The Intersection. You can find out more by going to noaddressmovie.com. We are nearing the end of this week's edition of the Intersection Podcast, a weekly production of the Meeting House. You can find out more through meetinghouseonline.info or by going to the programming menu at faithradio.org. Through the Meeting House homepage, as well as that programming menu, you'll find a link to the Media Center, the place you can go to listen to or download full conversations with recent guests on the Intersection Podcast, as well as the Meeting House radio program. You can also find links to the podcast, to the Media Center, as well as its Apple Podcast feed. Plus, through the Faith Radio YouTube video channel, you can watch video of Meeting House guests. There's a link provided from the Meeting House homepage. Also, there are links to two blogs. One is The Three, with three stories of relevance to the Christian community. There's also The Front Room, with devotional thoughts and commentary from the Meeting House. And you can follow me on X or Twitter and access the Meeting House Facebook page. Again, that website address is meetinghouseonline.info, or you can go to the programming menu at faithradio.org and click on the Meeting House link. Thanks for joining me for this week's edition of the Intersection Podcast. I'm Bob Crittenden.